Jeff, you was all in my message telling my story. Confirmation. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be a part of this age, this movement that's taking place in the midst of us. And Lord, we purpose to surrender to you as our Lord and as our Savior. Lord, I pray that you will continue to breathe on us the breath of life by the power of your Spirit so that we can become an exceedingly great army, as Ezekiel prophesied in chapter 37. Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. We surrender. And as Nate said, Holy Spirit, we just continue to just welcome you in the midst of us. Lord, this is your church. This is not our church. Lord God, we're just stewards over your possessions. And Lord, we want to be good stewards by obeying you, Father God. So we love you so much because you paid the price for us. And now we have access to your presence, which is the most precious thing that we can have. So, Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, I got my little Bill Hybels cards right here. I told my wife I was going to try something new. I'm going to try the Bill Hybels style, you know, so I can make sure that I stay on track. You guys look good out there. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look all right. I'm going to be talking to you about, what's my title? Yeah, get out of the boat and go to the other side. That's my title. Get out the boat and go to the other side. One thing before we start that, I'm going to tell a couple of stories and, you know, and then we're going to segue into Matthew chapter 14. I learned this quote from the late Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, and he said, the characteristics of the kingdom emanate from the characteristics of the king. And that basically means that whoever is leading has an impact and an influence on the people that's following them. Okay, so, and Nate hit on this, really the leadership of the church, okay, we have to take responsibility for the condition of the community. You know, it's amazing how we sometimes say, the police department, they're not doing it. The school system, they're not doing it. You know, but really we have to take responsibility for the atmosphere that's here in Kalamazoo, right? Amen. So I just really appreciate that, Nate Bull, for being used by God to help us in this area. Now, before we get started, I just want to kind of paint a picture for Matthew chapter 14. We can go to that next slide. Is when we get in there, I want you to look at the disciples as what? The church. Not Peter, John, and all of them. Us. All right. So the disciples are the church. Peter, to me, is a remnant of believers that can courageously get out the boat. Okay. So Peter is a remnant of believers that are open to the voice of God, to obey the voice of God. Jesus, of course, is Lord. Now, I know that might sound funny, but I think sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus is Lord and not us. So if he says go to the right, guess what? James, go to the right. If he says go to the left, go to the left. You know, if he's Lord, I'm not questioning what he's doing. Right? The boat is a place of false security. Okay? False security. And sometimes we'll find our comfort in our fears. Or we'll find our comfort in being prejudiced. Or we'll find our comfort in being racist. Or we'll find our comfort in our denominational preferences, right, and our relational conveniences. And what do I mean by that? Is that it's a certain group of people that I can be around, and that's convenient and comfortable to me. But God might say, shift, I want you to build some more relationships outside of your race, outside of your culture, outside of your tradition. See, and one of the things that, you know, we can trust God. I might not understand everything. And I heard a little bit of that talk while I was walking around and things like that. You might not understand everything, but you got to realize that God loves you. So whatever he tells you to do, he got you. And it's beneficial to you and the person that he's sending you to. Right? Okay. And walking on water is a place of dominion. That's the supernatural. And we're supernatural beings, right? All right. We don't communicate flesh to spirit. We communicate flesh to flesh with the Father. I mean, spirit to spirit with the Father. We're supernatural beings. If you're born again, you are a supernatural being. Because it's something awesome that happened when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay? Then, going to the other side is transition. Now, the disciples transitioned geographically, but also, if you look in there, they also transitioned spiritually, and especially Peter. So God is trying to get us to move from the flesh to the spirit. Why? So that we can walk on water. So that we can experience the supernatural. And I'm not sure why the church is afraid of the supernatural. We've gotten rid of the spirit. Ooh, the spirit. Right? We don't want to get rid of spirit. Why? Because if we get rid of the spirit and supernatural stuff, the devil got something for our kids. That's very spiritual and supernatural. So they'll leave the church because there's no power in the church, and they'll connect with something else. And we wonder, why are they leaving? Because they're supernatural beings and they're searching for the supernatural. So we want to make sure that we give them Christ, the power and the dominion of God, right, so that they'll be addicted to it. And they won't look anywhere else for it but in the church or in the believers. Okay, so I sense that God is testing the church of Kalamazoo. And actually, when we read in Matthew 14, really that was a test for the disciples. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Now, one of the questions on the test is, disciples, church, did you learn from your past experience? Because Peter walking on the water wasn't the first time that disciples was dealing with a storm. In Matthew chapter 8, they were dealing with a storm. And Jesus was asleep on that boat. In chapter 14, Jesus was walking on the water toward the boat. But the lesson that they should have learned was this, is that Jesus is God. Ah, come on. Jesus is Lord, and he has everything under control. See, we have to realize he's the creator, and I'm the creature. I'm the servant, not the Lord. So here I am, God. What do you need to do with me? Surrender. So that was one question. Another question, or another part of the test, tests expose weaknesses. And just like, you know, Nate was just saying, it's okay for God to expose a weakness in my life. Why? Because he's exposing it because he loves me. And another thing that a test would do, it would expose your strengths. And we're going to see that in Matthew chapter 14. Now let's go there. Let's read Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, starting there. " And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, that's a question that I'm asking myself. Am I going to be the disciple that stays in the boat or get out the boat? That's the question that I'm asking myself. James Harris, are you going to stay in the boat or are you going to get out the boat? And getting out the boat is you got to be very courageous. Because remember, staying in the boat is a false sense of security. And the disciples, they were used to being in the boat because they were fishermen, but they weren't used to walking on water. Because that was a total dependency on the power of God. So I have to ask myself that question. And I think the Church of Kalamazoo, we have to ask ourselves that same question. Let me tell you my story a little bit. And I'm going to read from my little pad here because I want to make sure that you get everything that I plan for you to get today, okay? My life was totally transformed at Christian Life Center under the leadership of Pastor Brooks. This is where I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I learned how to pray from Pastor Brooks. I learned how to hear the voice of God. I learned how to walk in love and forgiveness, right? I discovered my gifting under his leadership, and that was working with children. But during this time, I had developed in my mind a prejudice towards the Baptist denomination. My thinking about the Baptist was subtle, which means delicate, precise, you know, difficult to analyze. And it produced a division of a mindset of division. My prejudice was completely destroyed by God when he divinely orchestrated me to serve at a Baptist church. Go figure. God, all right, God has a way of delivering you from your sin. Now, this is my story. At Mount Zion, under the leadership of Pastor Addis Moore, I served as the youth director for 6 years. And what I was thinking about the Baptist was not true at all. My Baptist brothers and sisters had a love for God just as I did. They placed a high value on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and obeying God's word. As a result, God spoke to me and said very clearly, "You better not ever judge another church based upon what's written on the outside of their building. This is what we do at Trenches when we get hit. We say, oh, Lord. So when God hits you guys with something, we're going to say together, oh, Lord. Okay. All right. I remember someone telling me that my transition from CLC to Mount Zion was a demotion. Probably because of their prejudice. But actually it was a promotion. God used Mount Zion to catapult me into the next season he had for my life. I experienced some awesome moves in the Baptist denomination, and I'm very thankful for my upbringing in the non-denom. God has since reshaped my thinking about unity and the Big C Church. Now I am the pastor of Trenches Community Church, but before we started TCC, Trenches Community Church, Pastor Jeff Port, Reformed Church, allowed me or us to have our pre-launching meetings at Center Point. And also, the installation service took place at Center Point. You guys are reading between the lines? Now, the building that we're worshiping in, it was given to us by the Reformed Church in America. Thank you, Pastor Dave Armstrong and the classes for that. They gave it to us, but we had to pay a dollar. So actually, I did. I think I had talked to Rob Link. I asked him to send me a couple of quarters. And he said, I got it. He still haven't sent a couple of quarters yet. My experience with the non-denom, Baptist, and Reform has been every bit of a blessing and a demonstration of God's power. But I wouldn't be able to say that courageously if I wouldn't have got out the boat and tried something different. And courageously obey God. Now let's look into scriptures real quick, and I'll be out your way. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Here we go. Immediately, Jesus, say, made his disciples. And that word made means it was necessary. Now, reading up here, I have the church of Kalamazoo must get into the boat and go to the other side, and it's necessary that we make the transition. So it says here again, immediately Jesus made his disciples. Who are the disciples? The church, we are. And it says to get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So just like we said before, is that was a transition for the church. Now check it out. It was a test, and Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that the storm was going to happen. I believe he set the storm up. Because he is God. So he actually sent them into the storm. Now, the waves, they cooperated. The wind cooperated. The boat cooperated. Jesus was in position. But the question was, were the disciples in position? Would they pass the test? Right? Would they pass the test? Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, it doesn't say what Jesus was praying about. But I'm going to use my Holy Ghost imagination. I believe Jesus was praying, I hope they pass this test. And I believe that Jesus is praying that even today, I hope the church of Kalamazoo passed this test. Because it has very little to do with us necessarily, but it has a whole lot to do with those 160,000 souls that don't know Christ in our community. And it'll be a selfish thing for me to just think about me when every place I go is somebody in this community that does not know God. And could our disobedience be clogging up the power of God from flowing through us? I don't know. But I want to examine myself and say, God, whatever is in me, remove it. Because it's not about James, it's all about you. And James, you have to decrease so that the Father can increase. Because the Bible says, let your light so shine amongst men so that they can see your good works and glorify the Father and not you. So do we got to get out of the way? I remember this book that somebody wrote. It was talking about how the disciples have stolen God's church. And have we stolen the church? He doesn't even have a key to get into the room. And it belongs to him. So Jesus was praying, I hope they pass this test. Now I'm reminded also of another storm that was created. A storm that God created for Jonah. If you read in there, God created the storm. He orchestrated the men to throw Jonah off the boat. And he prepared the great whale or fish. Why did he create the storm? Because Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. So the Father, he'll shake up some things because the church don't want to do what he's instructing them to do. But as a result of Jonah repenting, guess what? He went to Nineveh. And Nineveh was radically changed, right, because of the storm that God created to shake Jonah up. I was telling the individual at the table, I'm starting to love the discipline of God. Why? Because it produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Let's go to verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. And this is what I'm sensing is happening, is that Jesus is coming to us as the church. And he has something to say. And he's already saying it. And then it says, walking on the sea. Now, I believe here that Jesus was demonstrating his dominion. He was demonstrating the authority that he had over the elements of the earth. And he was about to teach the disciples a lesson here, how to walk in their authority. He's the model. He's the example. And then it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. When they saw Jesus walking in his authority and his power, it bothered them. They were troubled and saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Now, this is what I'm seeing here. They had a misinterpretation of who God was. And that misinterpretation produced fear. So And fear is disguised in asking a lot of questions. Okay, God, Jesus loves Kalamazoo. All right, we're meeting where? At Galilee Baptist Church? God, I don't understand all of this. Reasoning? How many of you guys have ever reasoned God out of moving in your life? See, I remember when Nate spoke at our church probably a couple of months back. And this has stuck in my mind. When Jesus says something, my responsibility is not to ask him questions, but to say, yes, sir. What do you need me to do? Because I think sometimes we have it twisted. He's the creature and we're the creator. There's a misinterpretation of God, which has the potential of factor him out of doing what he wants to do. And then as a result of that, I become independent in myself and not depending on him. It was several conversations at this table. This unity thing, this movement, you can't do it in your own power. You can't love. I can't love in my own power. I can't unite in my own power. That has to be a move of God. Because, see, if you know a little bit about my story, I grew up in the time that racism was just crazy in Ferndale, Michigan. And we used to walk to school. We had to walk through the white neighborhood. And while we was walking through the white neighborhood, they were calling us names as we walked through the white neighborhood. And then I remember a time where we had just won a basketball game. And I went to go shake my Caucasian brother's hand, and he hit me in the stomach. And it felt like that I was about to die. And I could have allowed a root of bitterness in my heart. Judgment, anger, racism. But by the power of Almighty God was oozing from James Harris's love. Regardless of what race you from, background, denomination. Just like Nate said, I ain't on nobody's side. I'm on Jesus' side. So I ain't a part of that clique, this clique, or that clique. I'm a part of the clique of Jesus Christ. So if God says move left, I'm moving left. If he says move right, I'm moving right. Right about it? Okay. Now check it out. We're going to try to wrap this up. It is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, see, don't misinterpret me, what I'm doing. Just be a good cheer. In other words, it's like parents say, be happy. Now, this is the way he said, it's me. That's what Jesus is saying. Be of good cheer. This movement is me. It's I. Don't be, what, afraid. And God has moved in all of our lives before. Why do we have to be afraid of what God is doing? Because, see, God, we're talking about Church of Kalamazoo, we're talking about the God that created the heavens and the earth. He knows exactly what he's doing. We're talking about the risen Savior. He knows exactly what he's doing. All power belongs to him. And he's delegated that same power to us. But the thing that's happening, he's walking on water and he wants us to also. He wants us to walk in the supernatural power of God. Now check this out. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now the thing that stuck out to me there, Peter had enough sense to ask Jesus if it was him. Notice, he didn't ask his friends in the boat. And it's times in our lives that our counsel should come strictly from God because man will pollute it because of their fears or their prejudices. So it's times when God is saying, move, I'm not seeking counsel from another person. I'm just moving. And some moves, I believe, have been hindered because God has said, move, and we're turning around, talking. You think God said that? What do you think about that? Well, if God said, and then before you leave the counseling, your mind is all messed up. Because at first, you were following your heart. But then you started talking to people, and then you start following your head. So at least Peter had enough sense. Jesus, is that you? And some of us need to go back, or even today, and go to God and say, God, is that you? Now watch this. Verse 29. Now, so he said, come. And I hear that ringing in my ear. Come out here, James. Now you got to realize, if God just said come, there's some creative power in God's word. So you don't have to worry about, I don't have to worry about creating this thing or making this thing up. When the King of Kings says come, everything else obeys. So I don't have to worry about Satan. I don't have to worry about my denomination because God has that. When he speaks, everything is in place. And we should have learned that from creation. When he started creating the heavens and the earth, the sun still is in place. The moon is still in place. The water is still in place. So there's some creative power in his word when he says, come, come. But it seems as though everything else is in place. Everything else obeys except us. Except me. So he says, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, now, remember, the boat is a place of false security. When Peter came out of his prejudices, when he came out of his racism, when he came out of his denominational preferences, when he came out of his relational conveniences, what happened? Something happened supernatural. So when James comes out of his prejudices, when James comes out, this is another, when James comes out of his offenses, because it's amazing how, as the body of Christ and as believers, when someone offends us, you know the next thing that we do? Sarah, Port offended me. And this is what he did. Esto, Port offended me. And this is what he did. Port offended me. And this is what he did. So now, his mind is different about Port. His mind is different about Port. And her mind is different about Port. But we won't do this. Port offended me. Jeff, you offended me. So now, me and Jeff, we're talking about the offense. And we're healed now because we pray for one another according to John 5:16. Now, that hasn't went anywhere else. It's just between me and Jeff. So we'll take our offense and we'll spread it. That church offended me because they did it this way and they did it that way. And they didn't do it the other way. She told me to stop. So this is what I'm going to wrap up with this. This is what we're trying to say, church, is that courageously, we have to get out those boats and connect with other individuals. Because in my story, I'm ended. In my story here is that non-denom was a blessing. That Baptist church was a blessing. These Reformed people I'm hanging out with, they are a blessing. And the body of Christ is a blessing only if we just courageously get out the boat, walk on water, and go to the other side. The only thing that can stop us from uniting is fear and doubt. Because that's when Peter started sinking. The only person that can stop us is you. Me. The body of Christ. Thank you guys for giving me an opportunity to minister to you today.